Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. So, yeah, Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Sarah Dillon, Matt Peterson, Tim Riley, and the KOTK Newsroom. The best part about moving, by the way, new buildings. I spent a whole lot of time going through all the crap on my desk, and we found just a ginormous pile of terrible music from the last couple. Because, you know, we sort of pioneered new lows here in the genre of awful music, due to the It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard feature. And I found that we actually found earlier this morning, I found in a big pile of crap on my desk, the very first song we ever used for It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. So we're going to get to that later on this hour. We'll do that. Joel Lieb in the front desk is going to be here as well. Coming up in the third hour of the show, Clyde Lewis will be here also. Peter Carlin also today is top five Bob Scott recordings of all time. This, however, is your personal savior, Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK Newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
A Wisconsin man thought his guns and ammunition would be safe if he hid them in the oven while he and his wife went away on a dream vacation. Oh, they forgot to tell the missus. After they got home, he turned on the oven to dutifully cook dinner. And you can guess the rest. The couple took cover behind the refrigerator when the bullets began exploding. The man was able to use an extinguisher to put out the fire that started in the oven. Fortunately, nobody hurt. The Walt Disney Company and Jim Henson Company today announcing that they have entered into an agreement under which Disney will acquire the beloved Muppets and Bear.
Yeah, that's just wrong. Just wrong on every level.
This includes the Muppet assets, including Kermit, Miss Piggy, Fonzie Bear, Gonzo and animal characters, the Muppet film and television library, and all associated copyrights and trademarks, as well as all the Bear of the Big House characters, television library, copyright, and trademarks. The Jim Henson Company, which was purchased by the Henson family in July 2000 by a German media company. They will retain the right to all aspects of the company, including Henson's creature shop and ownership and rights of all characters and the entertainment properties of Jim Henson's company's extreme film and television library, including Rock, Farscape, Dark Crystal, Storyteller, Hoobs, and various others.
The Dark Crystal, also Fraggle Rock. It doesn't say that they'll retain the rights to Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, though. So it seems like we're in the clear there. Like, if there's any worse, I gotta tell you, man, you want anything to sort of just lose any shred of decency or, like, originality that it had, just let Disney sort of like this. There's sort of this cultural and artistic bleach that you can put on something that just, you know what Disney is? Here's what Disney is. I've come to it right now. We were having a big discussion about ketchup on the show earlier. And how ketchup is the most loathsome and trashiest of all condiments. And this is coming from a guy who's pretty goddamn trashy himself. You know what I mean? I'm no slouch in the white trash department. I gotta tell you, if there's certain things even I won't put on food. And one of those things is ketchup, because it's a completely hideous and horrific condiment that is maligned, you know, quite justifiably. You know what? Let me tell you this. You ever go to a restaurant, you want to annoy a chef, you want to annoy the guy who makes your food, request ketchup. That's the single worst thing you can do to anybody who's prepared food for you. In the food service industry, request ketchup. Because when you get ketchup, because ketchup is designed not... See, there's certain condiments... I do have a point here, by the way. There's certain condiments, certain spices, certain flavorings you put in a food, and they're designed to sort of enhance the flavor. They're designed to augment the flavor. Maybe two exciting flavors come together to create a third brand new taste. Ketchup is really just designed to hide the flavor of something you don't like. That's what ketchup... Because every time you put ketchup on something, it just ends up tasting like ketchup. That's what Disney is. Disney is sort of the catsup of the artistic world. Because no matter what you've got, no matter how pioneering or innovative or interesting or filled with imagination it might be, you give it to Disney and it just comes out with big googly eyes and a terrible Phil Collins soundtrack underneath it. That's what happens to it. Doesn't matter, man. And anything you give to Disney is going to come out the like lowest common denominator for stupid five-year-olds everywhere.
Next is when it happens. I'm Tim Riley.
And on that note, excellent. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up here, we'll roll some of these worst songs ever here in just a moment. I managed to lose my copy of I Got a Woman, though. I Got a Woman was this song it's kind of pointless to talk about it now since I don't have it in front of me. But I Got a Woman was the song that was sent to us by a guy who's a local country artist whose name escapes me, JC something or other. This guy who sent us his local, some local country artist who sent KWJJ his demo. And it was just truly, unbelievably, repellently awful on every conceivable level. So we'll get to that. We've got some others we're going to roll here. Do you have that, do you have the Dear Mr. President? Okay, Dear Mr. President, here's a little background on this. Dear Mr. President, this was created by some kids at, I think, the name of the school is Kaiser Elementary in Salem. And so immediately following 9/11, because there's nothing that inspires America to stand up and fight more than, like, paper mache hearts that have been strung together into a collage by school children. You know, it's like whatever towering evil there is in the world, it can always be fought back with by, like, a big piece of butcher paper upon which children have put misspelled words and little smiley faces. That's really what helps America strike back against the forces of evil. It's a lot of things that say, I heart freedom, you know, packed up and sent to Washington, D.C., where they end up in a dusty closet along with the Raiders of the Lost Ark set forever. So, but along with that, we got this. This is from, I believe, the kids at Kaiser Elementary in Salem. And this just arrived unbidden in the mail one day. This is, Dear Mr. President. Yeah. The best part, of course, is that this is actually not a child. This is, I believe, the daughter of the woman who teaches the music class. When I die and go to hell, this is what will be in the jukebox. There's this and Creed, over and over. No song with a children's chorus, by the way, is ever good, the sole exception being Another Brick in the Wall for you. Are there any actual children on this? I forget. They sent me a picture of the little Muppets that sang on this along with it. Remember the children. Won't you please help? I can't remember whether I realized the first time that this was a colossal scam, that there are no children on this from Kaiser Elementary. And there was like a full, like, glossy CD cover for this and everything. I feel completely scammed. There are no children on this song.
And they're not gonna come.
Maybe the children are really terrible. She's duetting with herself now. I remember reading in the press kit, though, that this woman is the daughter of the music teacher there. So, maybe they were just waiting for something to blow up and... They were just waiting for someone to die so they could release a song. This is really the true tragedy of 9/11, this song. I feel that, really, you know, I know people died and all, but really, the thing that they've overlooked is the creation of Dear Mr. President. This is really when the terrorist won right here, is this moment. All right, God damn it, there are no children in that song. None. Not a one. There are no little children on the song, and yet it came to us. It was clearly labeled that it came to us from the Kaiser Elementary School or someplace like that in Salem, Washington. And there was a picture of like 55 little grubby-faced children standing in front of a flag somewhere. That came inside the envelope with the photo or with the CD. All right. So there you go. So there's Dear Mr. President, which we played for its historical significance. We're going through all it. We're moving to our new building. We're going to be there next week, moving to our building down by the waterfront. And so we've been going through my desk and throwing stuff away, keeping other stuff. And that is the very first installment ever of It's the Worst Song You Ever Heard. That's the song that started. But it was soon followed up by... Go ahead and... It was followed up just 2 days later by this, which arrived in the mail. I forget the name of the guy. There was a guy named Troy that gave this to us. Apparently, Mr. T was off. Like, there we go. Yeah. I'm sorry, I forgot about the little soul sisters coming in there. You can hear them just desperately trying to put him way down in the mix so he can't actually be heard. The best thing about the early days of rap was that anybody could do it. I mean, the key really with any sort of musical development in America is to get in the first 5 years before they figure out what's good and what's bad. It's like as soon as any new genre is created, it's like just get it right in as soon as the door opens. You don't even have to be any good. This song goes on for like 6.5 minutes, by the way. Alright. Okay, you have to make it go away. Alright. So there you go. So there's the first two installments, which will probably not be played again on this.
So you didn't find Daddy's Cold Culture?
No, I never find... I couldn't find the I Want a Woman song, which is like... It's some guy with like an off-kilter, banjo in his basement banging something out. But, I mean, at least that has the advantage of being homemade. But this song, who sings a touching song about incest? You know what I mean? And then packages it and sends it to KWJJ to be played on the air, which was never going to happen ever. I mean, the only good thing was that we had people at KWJJ that know it. You know, the Wolf. It's like they receive things in the mail. You know, and it's like, okay, Toby Keith, you know, the Wolf, Kenny Chesney, the Wolf, Dixie Chicks, the Wolf, Incest, Rick Emerson, and it's right over here. I mean, they just knew that sort of stuff was supposed to be filtered over to us. But they sang this song called Survivor, which is a touching story about the survivors of child abuse and whatnot. But it has this, and it sounds like this bad Creed knockoff. And the line right at the beginning of the song is, she remembers everything. Something, something, pajamas with little feet. And then it has that line about the night she lost her innocence between Daddy's cold, cold sheets. And the song is just, it makes you sort of shift uncomfortably in your chair while you're listening to it. All right, Matt, let's do this. We'll come back. And we got the Jolie coming up this hour with How Chicks Think. Later on, we've got Clyde Lewis going to pop in. Peter Carlin for the Oregonian will be here. And today's top five Bob Scott recordings of all time. Stay there. We'll be back after this. It's Rick Emerson's show on Hot Talk today. KOTK, stay there. We'll be back.
only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Sarah Dillon has this, the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up later on this hour, Jolie from the front desk will be here with another exciting installment of How to Change Things. Later on today, we got today's top five Bon Scott recordings of all time. Also, Peter Carlin, TV critic, New Oregonian, will be here. The new Stuff magazine here with Carmen Electra on the front. Carmen Electra, I think I figured out what it is. I think Carmen Electra is some sort of real-life version of Jessica Rabbit, which is why it's difficult for me to find her attractive, because she seems so perfect that she can't even be real. It does seem entirely like if you were to ask me right now, like Clyde has talked about, we've had these discussions with Clyde about people who were undoubtedly aliens. You know, like if you discovered that Bjork was an alien, I mean, would you even bat an eye? I mean, it's just sort of a given. I mean, at this point, I'd sort of be surprised if I found out that Bjork was human. But if you were to ask me which one of these, you know, which celebrity model was probably just a completely CGI creation, it'd be Carmen Electra, hands down. Her and freaking Dave Navarro both, man. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend and host of his own damn fine radio program, Clyde Lewis.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
that's how I can sum it up.
So you were, for those who missed it, Clyde came on the show yesterday. I believe was already a little drunk when he came on, or hungover at the very least. Put down like 14 shots inside of about an hour,
yeah.
Jen Lane.
Yeah.
Sarah and I went and we listened to you later that afternoon doing traffic. Just out of morbid curiosity. And I got to say, you pulled it off with considerable aplomb.
Really?
You couldn't tell. The only way you could tell is if you were really looking for it. Mm-hmm. If you were looking to hear it, you could tell that you were sauced. You know, like a bad ham. But
I had to fake it. I was like, I was actually talking through my eyes.
I think your traffic actually sounded better than normal because you were so focused on mustn't F up, mustn't sound like I'm incredibly drunk.
Yeah.
But so you could kind of hear the edges of your words dissolving a little bit. But, I mean, you actually pulled it up pretty well. So the question is, did you go out last night and then continue your drinking?
Yes, I did. I went out last night and I went into the bar drunk. And then I had a zombie, which is wonderful. It's a lot of good alcohol. And then everybody bought me drinks, and it was really weird because at the bar, everybody looked like me. It was weird. They all dressed like I do. They all came in with leather on it and in black, and everybody was like in black and leather. It was hilarious.
It should be noted we have, I think, 3.5 cases of beer that we've got to get rid of one way or the other.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get rid of it.
You guys drank, and I'll just say this, you guys drank an entire bottle of that Lieutenant.
Admiral Nelson's.
Whatever, Admiral Nelson, Lieutenant Terwilliger, or whatever his name is, that Admiral Nelson spice rum.
Yeah.
An entire fifth of that. And I think a good half of that fifth of vodka.
Really?
So, man, that was largely you and I, except Justin from Promotions only had one, and I know Rob had a couple, but it was almost entirely good. Jen Lane's car is still in the parking lot.
It would have been fine. I know Jen was so cool. You know what she did? She wanted to call and get me a limo or a town car and get me home. She's so incredibly cool. And so, if Jen's listening, I just want to tell her how incredibly cool she is, because I had to work. She wanted to get me a town car. That was just so classy.
We got this, Rick. I know you wouldn't like this because, as I know, to see this would be wrong. But in case any of your friends would like to see it, I've attached a link to the whole 37-plus minute Paris Hilton sex video. Again, excellent. Thank you. Again, I do not encourage seeing this, even if it is in color most of the time. It can easily be seen and has high pixel quality. That would be wrong. That's Steve in Seattle. Excellent. Has anybody seen that? Has anybody seen anybody?
I saw a ripoff one. It was some woman who looked like Paris Hilton. It wasn't really her.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, I felt cheap.
See, definitely. So I definitely won't be downloading that and looking at that later. Anyway, so what's going on this weekend for your birthday?
I don't know.
People wanting to know if you're
going
to be out.
I'm having dinner with a couple beautiful women. And I don't know if I want to say who they are, but I'm having beautiful women having dinner with me tomorrow. Sunday, I'm going to be at Todai. I usually go there because it's free for me to eat. It's kind of like
a glamorous world of radio.
It's like, you know, sushi. You know, you get sushi, and you get a, if you have your little card, your birthday, your ID, you get free sushi. So that's only if people pay. If they come with you, they pay your party. So I pick up on some of my friends. We all go over there, and so I tell people, hey, I'll be at Todai around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon eating sushi, so if you want to come by and eat with me, you can.
All right. Cool, I guess. Something on this email, Daddy's Cold Cold Sheets. Rick, what is the connection between Sarah Dillon and the Daddy Sheet song? I'm very aroused by thoughts of Sarah in pajamas with feet in them. Okay.
Oh, man.
I think the connection...
I'm just obsessed because we haven't been able to find it, and I know it has to be here somewhere.
People keep sending us snippets of the song in real audio format, which are just not air quality. So I appreciate that, but you can knock off with sending us the real audio version of the song. They're just not high quality enough to play, so you can just sort of knock that off. Also, Rick... Here's another Sarah question. Has Sarah ever touched Jolie's squishy breasts?
Have you?
I don't know.
No.
I really haven't. You I've really touched Glory's, but not Jolie's.
It's from Dave, one of the original Jolie lovers.
You're driving off the road now going, wow.
Rick, I have no idea what the artist was, but one of your early installments of Worst Song Ever was a religious song that sounded like it was sung on top of a Casio playing in demo mode. Do you have any clue? Oh, that was Saul. Sal Reino was that guy's name. And that's one of the many CDs that got lost in between the last year and now, just sort of vanished into the cracks somewhere.
Do you still have that song, America's Still Number One, that one that I gave you from that guy that told me that he wanted to have it played on your show?
Oh, yeah, I forgot all about that. No, we just played Dear Mr. President. We played Dear Mr. President and the Mr. T thing. The only Casio song we have now is the Villain Thieves. Maybe we'll bust that up later. So. All right, we'll do this. We're going to come back with Jolie and How Chicks Think on just the other side, so we'll be back with that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. In the meantime, we want to take this opportunity to wish you, Clyde Lewis, a happy 40th birthday this weekend.
Happy birthday
from everyone.
Thank you.
Now you know how it feels. So happy birthday from everyone on and associated with the Rick Emerson Show.
When another year has come and gone,
yes.
So grab your f***ing party hat and put that f***er on. Gonna drink a lot of f***ing beer, smoke a lot of f***ing pot. And supposed to work tomorrow, and a hotel to f*** off. Happy f***ing birthday to you.
Proudly presented by the Rick Emerson Show.
All your f***ing friends are here, and your f***ing family too. Hope you get some f***ing action, f***ing drink until you spew. Happy f***ing birthday to you. Well, we're gonna go out and hit every f***ing bar.
So happy last night.
We're gonna party down so f***ing hard. We're gonna tear this down to f***ing shreds. Happy f***ing birthday to you. All your f***ing friends are here and your f***ing family too. Hope you get some.
Only the best from the Rick Emerson Show in terms of birthday greetings.
Happy f***ing birthday to you.
Live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Just that. All right, Sarah Dillon's got the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955.
It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Coming up here in just a few moments, welcome to the show, Jolie from the front desk for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. Or now, as the case may be. Coming up next hour, we got Peter Carlin from New York, going also today's top five. Jolie, how are you?
I'm doing better than you, I guess.
That's okay.
I drew you a picture, look.
Thank you. Jolie's drawing me a Tony Roma's illustration. Thank you so much. All right, so we got this is the second half of a two-part question. So the first half was yesterday, and yesterday we got a guy who had emailed us, and he'd gone to prison or jail or He got into the hoosegow in some way for check cutting.
He was violated.
And the question, we don't know that he was violated. That's a dramatic revisionist, you know, yeah, view of the email.
No.
We have no, you can't just assume that any guy who's gone to jail has been violated. I've gone to jail, I wasn't violated.
Oh, really?
That you know of.
Let's hear that story.
Now I've told this, now I've told the story. I went to the same jail, Rob from the House of Rick has been in jail. No, at the same jail, actually. Not at the same time, but Rob and I have both been at the in the Spokane jail.
Oh, my God, really?
In the Spokane Laka, wow. Which is just as exciting and glamorous as it sounds, by the way. For me, I don't know what the hell Rob was in there for. That's the thing.
No,
you don't,
you.
No, but I'm just saying, I don't know what Rob is in for, because it's the sort of thing that you don't ask other people unless they volunteer. And it's one of those things that you don't.
I would take a guess that it would be drugs.
I don't know anything about Rob.
You know, I don't either.
Don't speculate on the air about whether Rob...
Because I know he wouldn't be a
It's Rob has a family that listens to the show. Or, you know, or does as of today.
I was just being nice.
Okay, by speculating that Rob went to jail for drugs...
Well, that's like one of the lightest ones, don't you think?
No, I went there for a parking ticket, for a traffic ticket.
No,
that's
way.
One of the lightest
oh,
ones.
Oh, gosh. Really?
I got pulled. I mean, I wasn't there for a long time. Like, I did hard. Not like I did hard crime. I did hard time. Yes, they did. They cuffed me and stuffed me. I told this story. Here's what happened. Long story short. Now that we've gotten completely drunk. Long story short, here's what happened in Spokane. I was driving down a street called 29th in Spokane, which is right by this, I got to a place called Zips, which is like a fast food place. Gone through there, got my lunch, coming out, and I'm driving down the road, getting ready to go back to work, and I make a lane change without signaling, because, you know, it's like, you know,
signal sometimes.
Yeah, it's like, I'm changing lanes, there's nobody behind me, I just go ahead and I change lanes. Immediately out comes the man, who's been sitting there doing a speed trap, sees me make, you know, a lane change without signaling. In actuality, what I was pulled over for, I think, was being a really long-haired guy in a metallic t-shirt driving a car that it looked like I probably couldn't afford at the time. And so he pulls me over. And it turned out that I had had a speeding ticket the previous year that I've been, you know, they paid off in installments.
Oh,
and
right.
It was like $120, and I paid it all the way down to 10, and I just forgot about the last 10. I never made the final payment, so it was like $10 sitting in this account forever and ever. And it's like after a certain amount of time, they just kicked out a bench warrant for me. And so they pull you over, and, you know, the guy says, can I have, you know, license, ID, you know, all that stuff, you know, let me see your paperwork. I give him all the paperwork, and I got all my stuff, I got my insurance, I got my license, I got all that, I'm not worried about anything. He goes back to the car, and, you know, they do that thing of sitting in the car just to make you sweat.
Yeah.
I mean, they get all that information off the SCMODs, you know. Like,
was this a long story short?
Yeah, it is. It's that. I am getting to the point. So he goes back, and they SCMOD me, and then he comes, and he walks to the car, and he looks in the window, and he says, would you step out of the car, please?
Oh,
and at that
no.
moment, it's like you've fallen into some weird porthole into another galaxy where you're suddenly in a cop movie that you've seen a million times. And you're hearing all this stuff that you've seen on NYPD Blue, and it's sort of surreal because you can't really fathom that it's happening to you. Like when he says, please place your hands palm down on the car and spread your feet ankle width apart, you know, shoulder width apart. And you're like, what did you? You put your hands behind you, please? Okay, you have the right to remain, and you're like, no! And then you find yourself saying, what do we all see the guy say on television that I then said? There must be some mistake, officer. And, of course, there was no mistake. I had a bench warrant. Guy shoves me into the back of a car, drags me down to the, you know, they book me, they process me, they stick me into a cell. First of all, they chained me to a metal bench next to a woman who was there in a sweatsuit covered with blood because she stabbed her husband with scissors. Then I got thrown into the holding tank next to some Samoan who kept giving me these big googly love eyes the whole time. Nothing happened. And
you were violated.
I really wasn't, but...
I knew it.
I really wasn't, but it's like, I'll tell you, I'm a scrawny, scared white man, and especially then, I was only 22. No, not even that, 20 at the time. And so I was like, you're sitting there, and you're some 20-year-old, long-haired, pretty-looking white boy. You know, and it's like, you totally don't like to just think all that hideous stuff, but you do. You sit there, and you're like, I'm going to be passed around like a bad bong. I'm going to be the man of the slam. You know, all your nightmare scenarios start coming true. And, of course, I mean, I was there for like 9 hours. I mean, just like, what did that even count? Like, wasn't even half a day.
Did they feed you?
No, because I said I wasn't even there like 10 hours. But, you know, then my girlfriend comes and your girlfriend having to post bail for you is always fun. That's not embarrassing or anything.
Was this your current?
No, this was years ago. And then I go back, I go back to work. And, of course, everybody at work knows that I've been arrested and, you know, put in jail. It's a mad scene. Anyway, that's the same jail that Rob went to. So the point is, don't don't try to help Rob out anymore by speculating over what he might have gone to jail for, because I went to jail for the bare freaking minimum, for the lowest possible offense, you know. In any event, so this guy...
Have you ever been held up at gunpoint?
Can we move on to the question today?
Yes, I have.
I really haven't. I've been held up at knife point, but not gunpoint.
All right,
moving on. The guy had emailed us, and he said, would you ever date a guy who, you know, gone to jail for any length of time? And you had said no. So then we got a follow-up email from a guy, and he wants to know, in essence, why would you never date a guy who'd been in jail or who'd been locked up, yet all women will date guys who are in rock bands when they all share the same tendencies? I mean, they're all scum of the earth. They've all got bad credit. They all smell. They're all tattooed up and disreputable social citizens. And I don't say that as an offense. Many of our best friends are in bands. But come on, we know that those things are true. You know, all DJs got bad credit and a repossessed car. All guys in bands stink and have a meth problem. We know that it's true. So why will girls date a guy who's in a band, but not a guy with all the same characteristics who's been locked up?
Wow. Well, if you're a musician...
In other words, why does being in a band give you a pass on all other socially reprehensible behavior that would normally never get you laid?
It's all about fame, the money.
You know, that's not true either, because guys... You take some guy in some local band, they don't have any fame or money to speak of. Not, you know, not most of them, not in any real sense.
Possibility, Rick. Possibility.
So they're like an unscratched ticket from the Plaid Pantry that, you know, could have $5,000 underneath.
Yes, and because if they went to jail before, then it was probably just for drugs, which, you know, isn't that big of a deal. But you know, it's because he has drive. This is like a dream job, doing what he loves.
Uh-huh.
And so the women can see that in this man.
Really? Because that works so well. That works so well for those of us in radio.
Well, no,
I have my dream job.
yeah,
I know.
You're not writing things about us that make us feel emotions, you know. I don't know.
We make people feel emotions all the time, usually revulsion.
Yeah, not like when you sing.
Disgust.
Poetry.
Regret that they've turned on the radio. Guys, the idea that guys in bands are all singing, these are all made-up reasons. None of these are real. Because we know that guys, most bands don't have fame and fortune. Most guys in bands aren't writing anything that even the most charitable person would call poetry. It's all basically just let me put my log in your fireplace.
Okay.
Kind of stuff. I mean, and that's, you know, that doesn't really count.
I think, okay, the main thing is, yes.
It's not like the guys in Naked Violence are sitting there writing E.E. Cummings lyrics or anything. I mean.
Oh, but there's always a possibility, Rick. And you know what? If he looks good and there's a possibility of money, then the stink factor really doesn't matter as much.
The stink factor.
Because we can change him to be more hygienically inclined.
And so you can Yoko him into into a decent citizen and a creator of music no one likes.
No.
You can then ruin the band later by instilling a sense of blandness and mellowness into his persona.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Let's see. We got this. Why don't you ask Sarah? She seems far more inclined to be able to have an answer on this.
I'm sorry?
Somebody wants to know the question, the answer from your point of view.
If?
About the guys in bands. About the attraction to dudes in bands.
Well, I just thought Justin was hot. You know, he is in a band.
So the band has nothing to do with it?
No, and I mean, no, the band can only take you so far. Someone stinks, they stink. It doesn't matter.
Nah, but see, it's like we've all seen guys in bands that are just, I mean, I always joke about Steven Tyler as just sort of the example, but I mean, we all know guys in bands that are just, it's like freak shows, man.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like once girls, you know, see the response that, you know, that the guy is getting from the audience and other people.
I mean, there's really no other profession as a guy that you can go to that's guaranteed to get you chicks. I mean, there's just band member and firefighter. That's pretty much it. I mean, there's no other... I think that's why people are so fascinated by the concept, by the idea, because there's no other job as a guy that you can go into that will just guarantee you that chicks are going to be full-on attracted to you that way.
Well, see, that's like on American Idol in the beginning when they started doing the auditions and everything.
Uh-huh.
The one guy came in and they asked you why you want to be on there, and he says, well, I need a girlfriend, so I figured this would be the way to get her.
Right, but I mean, it's like Clay Aiken is a guy like that. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
Clinton's a boyfriend.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know which team Clay Aiken's on, but Clay Aiken is one of those. You look at that guy and you realize it doesn't matter. I mean, it absolutely does not matter how hideous he is and how unattractive he is. You put that guy on stage and you hand him a Les Paul and suddenly it's just like instant hot for girls. You know what I mean?
Well, I think more like the 12-year-olds are attracted to him, but...
Is it because... Let me ask you this. Is this like the when the being attracted to the guys who can dance? Is it like... Because as it's been explained to me, I mean, we've asked before why girls are so hot for guys who can dance. And we've had girls say that it's because when you see a guy dancing, you assume if he can dance well, then he's good in bed.
Oh, yeah, but I don't know. I don't like the... Well, okay, when you say dancers, you mean like strippers?
No, I mean, I'm saying you're out there, you're at a club, there's some guy out there on the dance floor, and he's doing his thing.
Oh,
I mean, that's why girls are into guys who can dance. I mean, why the hell else would it matter? I mean, that's the only reason that girls are attracted to guys who can dance, it would seem to me. I mean, what would be the point otherwise?
Because they can have fun.
Yeah, all right. Sarah, guys who can dance?
I don't really think it has so much to do with the sex thing. It's good to see that somebody has a talent and has an interest in something, you know, and is good at doing something.
All right. Well, my speculation was, though, that the reason the girls were attracted to the guys who could dance is because it's like if they can dance, you know, if they can use their hips that way, they can, you know, whatever. They, you know, they're good at that. And so it would seem to me that the logic would carry over to guys who are in bands as well. You know, a guy
they
in a band.
Guitar, they have good sex.
Yeah, it's like if you see a guy on stage, I mean, you know, it's a guy on stage using his hands, using his, you know, good, you know, he's able to manipulate the instrument to make it, manipulate his instrument until it makes a pleasing sound, then, you know, that he's able to do the same thing between the sheets or whatever.
That brings me to a good point, yes, because the hands, a lot of artists are singers, musicians, whatever. They're hot and mysterious, and they have good hands, and that's important. You know, because to play the piano or the guitar, you need to have long hands, big ones.
Okay.
And yes. They're usually nice.
So they've got a good finger reach.
Oh, my. Yeah, whatever.
All right. We've got this subject line, bunch of crap. Rick, this is all BS. Jolie's all wet on this one. Chicks dig guys in bands because they are more, quote, sensitive. They feel like a chick does. He's going to be a better lover, etc., etc. Some guys got it, some guys don't. Chicks are willing to check it out because they think these guys are in touch with their sensitive side.
True. Yes, I agree. Men, the musicians are more sensitive.
All right. Let's talk to Terry, a full-time listener. And Tiger. Terry, what's up?
Hey, Rick, how you doing today?
What do you got?
You want to talk about two hideous guys who went to the top from singing? Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr.
Frank Sinatra, I don't know if he was hideous.
Oh, he was a little squat toad.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's definitely that's a guy that no one ever accused of being in touch with his sensitive side.
No, never.
It was simply, I don't know, he didn't stink. That's not my point. I'm not simply talking about guys who stink. I'm just, and I feel like we've gotten nowhere near an actual answer. My only point was that it's like, for guys, the answer is never that complex. For a guy, it's just about whether or not you're hot to look at. That's what it is. For a guy, the answer is never difficult. It's always just about whether you're hot.
Yeah, but Sammy Davis Jr., look at him. That was one ugly dude, man.
And he only had one eye. That's true. No, but my point is, like, for women, though, it's sort of like, you know what it is? It's like guys in these little figurines that you can put in various dioramas. And it's like, whatever the background scene is, that affects whether or not you're hot for the guy.
Well, we look at the big picture, but you know what else that reminds me of? We were talking last night about how girls, girls are a little more picky because we don't really want to sleep with the short guy.
All right. We've got this. This is from Pete. Pete says, Rick, I understand that this is your last day in the building, so the big question is, will your new building be harpy-proof? Jolie? You want to answer the question that's been burning into everyone's brain?
No, you can just wait and see.
Okay.
You wait over the long weekend.
Well done. There's another exciting installment of How Chicks Think. We'll be back with Peter Carlin and the Oregonian today. Stop by. Stay there. We'll be back.
Whatever makes me happy, this you be. And I'm thanking you for knowing exactly.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 2019, Jim Riley. Federal health officials gave warnings to the Chamawa Indian School officials and the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs as long as 15 years ago. They said drunk students at the school should not be placed in holding cells to detox. But the Oregonian obtained documents, and those showed both repeatedly failed to act on those concerns, and a 16-year-old girl died just like that in December. On Monday, the penalty phase of convicted murderer LaDon Stevens' trial begins. Jurors took 5 days to find the 35-year-old guilty to rape and murder. iMart Corporation employees could use their retirement savings to become owners of iMart. But there's no word today from the employees or iMart officials to find out what's going on. Cloudy this afternoon, highs in the 50s, still cloudy and foggy tonight, partly sunny tomorrow. Dear Riley, KOTK News.